Public Radio. My guest today, and I'm pleased to introduce to everybody and the community, is Jessica Sheeler. She is the Outreach and Transition Specialist with the Job Corps program, and she is centered and has offices at the Kenosha County Job Center. And again, very, very pleased to bring Jess on board and be able to talk about the opportunities that are available to our young people in the community. And I'll have her talk about some eligibility and application considerations and processes, as well as other education opportunities and educationally related opportunities that exist within that very, very full program. And I believe, as I've looked forward to this particular show, a very exciting and very, very full range of opportunities that a lot of people are probably not aware of. To get started, I'm going to allow Jess, as I do with all my guests, the opportunity to describe her professional preparation, training, higher education, and what brings her to her current position. So once again, Jess, good morning, and look forward to hearing from you.
Good morning, Chuck. Thanks for having me on the show. I also am very excited to be here. Also, very odd that I'm on this side, as normally
yes.
I am hosting my own.
A radio celebrity.
Yeah. But so what? How do I come to be Job Corps? All right, I started off graduating 2009 at the University of Wisconsin Parkside. I have a Bachelor's of Arts in Criminal Justice with a minor in Sociology and Anthropology, with a specific emphasis on anthropology. And after graduating, I started 7 months after that working at Women and Children's Horizons. So I was a shelter advocate to start.
Wonderful. What a great organization. And they have certainly benefited by your experience there. My goodness.
I worked third shift. So I was responsible for all of the intakes, the crisis calls, and
very high need.
I would say major influences within that company were to basically organize that company. They had donations that would come in, and the shelter had various spots where they needed to have organization. So that's the skill I brought, was I organized things. I made sure that we had charts and, you know, documentation of what was coming in and
data
going out.
Data for briefings.
Right.
Correct. Check sheets for this coming in and out. Right.
And that's where I would say my start of knowing community resources came, because
excellent.
I was a rookie. I knew some, but I didn't know really what to do. And because I worked independently, I did a lot of research into the community. Well, what's available? How do you qualify? And how can I really provide services for those people as to where to go? Because those clients coming in needed to know, all right, how do I get food share? How, you know, what is W-2? How do I – education was a big component.
Yeah.
Employment and all of that. I transitioned from there into a foster parent recruiter and trainer position with community impact programs.
Boy, another outstanding program. Boy, are we fortunate to have you as a resource
in
this community.
It just continues to build.
Yeah, truly.
And it was kind of a twofold. That was a part-time position. And at the same time in Racine, I was working as a supervised visitation worker. So okay. I was responsible for picking up the foster care children, meeting them with their parents, and supervising and advising that parent as to really how to parent.
A related role in a way.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And I'm one of those people that like to see the whole picture. You can't just give me one slice of the puzzle. I will go out and figure out how it fits into the whole scheme of things, because I believe inclusivity is really the key in providing services and making sure that gaps in services are taken care of. From that, I was promoted to licensing specialist, where I then had to license all of the foster parents within Kenosha County. I worked with DCFS at that point, the Department of Children and Family Services.
Sure. Uh-huh.
Acronyms get thrown out and people are
sure.
like, what's that mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And so I wrote licenses. I trained the foster parents. I was still very active in recruiting, which really started my networking with reaching out to nonprofits, other community organizations, letting them know we exist and the importance education and need in the community for foster care. Every single role that I have had, I think, as a working professional after college has really been to educate the community on needs that we have, because there are, I think, negative perceptions as to what not only kind of this program is or who qualifies, but also the other roles I have, like, you know, those are the poor people, like why, and, you know, there's lots of negativity that gets associated, which I then
misperceptions sometimes, correct, stereotypes.
Throw out the we're going to throw out your old ideology, and we're going to throw in really what this is and how we can continue to build and fix our community. I'm a huge advocate for that. But from those roles, I transitioned into the Workforce Innovative and Now Opportunity Act Youth Employment Specialist. So I was working collaboratively with Boys and Girls Club, and I would go into the schools and make sure that students graduated, became employed, or went into the military. When I left that role and transitioned into this role, I want to say my caseload at that point was about, 35. All of my previous 15 that I had acquired students were all placed in either two or more of that criteria. They all graduated or then became employed, went to school, or enlisted in the military. Okay. So my numbers were really good. And then I came to Job Corps, and I became the Outreach and Career Transition Specialist. So my job is kind of a threefold position. I'm not only responsible for bringing advocacy to this program by educating people about what Job Corps is, but I am also responsible for a caseload of 248 students where I have to ensure that they know about services, become employed, go into further education, et cetera. So that's
wonderful
how I come to exist.
And again, what a great resource. And I think that it's fair to probably characterize most of your activity as being a resolution resource, and your ability to be able to network and identify different people that work in the community to provide those funded resources in some cases. And sometimes you truly have to think out of the box, get a little bit untraditional or non-traditional, unconventional. In identifying some of those solutions, once you have identified a gap, it's also important not to duplicate services.
Right.
And this can be problematic when you're working with so many people. And I get the feeling from your energy that you do like to juggle a few things, that this is not necessarily multitasking in a bad way. It's something you are drawn to. And I guess I have to apologize to everybody, going forward here, that by making your caseload somewhat complicated, because I believe and have been a long-standing supporter of the Job Corps program, and I've thrown quite a few at you, I think, that are either currently at the Job Corps program at the Milwaukee site or in some different sites in this region, and I'm not going to steal that thunder. I'm going to let you talk to that. But that it's very, very all-inclusive, and you can see where, in your case, you have taken the previous experience, and now that is a synergy that contributes to your success in your current position. Getting right to Job Corps, I've heard the orientation before, and this is a very, very exciting program. I think that when we talk about education, also, though, we are talking about credentialed education and curriculum delivery, so that as we talk about the Job Corps training program, which I certainly will allow you to do and want to make sure that people are as well informed about it as possible, if you could describe not only the program, but also something about the application and eligibility process. Who goes, in other words, and as far as the application process is concerned, how complicated is it? And then we'll go from there as to what the education and training component looks like.
All right. Well, credentialing, that's something that you talked about, and that's, I think, a myth that is associated with Job Corps, is that, oh, it won't count. But in all actuality, it is credentialed. And I have started partnering with Gateway and other colleges, CIS, Computer Institute Systems, in Illinois.
They're in Gurnee, I believe. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now they're looking at the trade certificates and the hours that have been booked and transferring them into credit hours for our students if they are interested in education. This is also happening with Sandy Martin, who does the apprenticeship at Gateway in Racine at the IMET Center. So we've started to create this easier transition from Job Corps into further education if that is what the student chooses to do.
And as opposed to easy, perhaps more seamless.
Yeah,
and,
yes.
A little bit more transparent, for example, and easier to see and access.
Right. So what is Job Corps? Because everyone's like, I don't know what that is. Well, it's a Department of Labor-run program that is paid for by the Workforce Innovative and Opportunity Act that affords...
It's also Department of Labor, I believe.
Yes, yeah. Department of Labor.
And I think there's some Social Security...
Because of our target audience.
Correct.
It's youth and individuals with disabilities. So 16 to 24, unless you have a diagnosed disability, and veterans with a 30% disability are able to also apply and enroll into this program.
Wow.
Some sacrifices they'd have to make. It is residential.
It's residential.
So you have to go and live on campus. And the really neat thing, or what I love about this program, is that it mixes traditional with non-traditional. It's traditional in the sense, at least in my mind, of going away to a four-year college.
Absolutely.
You go, you live on campus, you get to experience, you know, the groups and organizations that you would.
Student Government Association is as active there as it is here
active.
At Gateway Technical College or Parkside or Stanford.
Mm-hmm. And they actually, we get a newsletter every week. Students have actually advocated for... And there's a new app that's going to be used, a internet cafe, like to more easily access, Wi-Fi and things like that make the center work easier and better for them. Because let's face it, right now, you know, you can consult the Oracle that is Google and everything is at the tips of your fingers. So
as long as the internet is working.
Right. They are very active. But that's what I like about it is you go and you get to have that experience. Non-traditional in the sense that you work at your own pace.
Bingo.
So
and it's hands-on.
And it is hands-on. You get the traditional book learning with the non-traditional hands-on. So when a student first enrolls and they're in the career preparation phase, which is the start, they're doing book learning and they're being
They're being assessed as to what their academic competencies are.
Correct.
So that they can fulfill the requirements of that industry trade requirement.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be there are a lot of building trades, and I'll let you talk to the trades. But specifically, we also want to stay on point that this is real education and that someone who chooses this option, because the conventional classroom may not be working for them, they are every bit as well-credentialed and qualified as someone who comes out of the most conventional classroom, private education, whatever you want to call it.
They have what is called on-center, and what we use as an assessment, what the colleges are using to, you know, verify those hours is what is known as a TARS, a T-A-R-S, which is the Training Achievement Record
system,
which is federally and state accredited based on technical schools and what it is in those trades that a student has to learn in order to be able to apply it and then go on into further education. So they get to work in a book, but they're working first at center, hands-on in that trade.
Demonstrated skill sets.
Yes. Those cement masons that are at the Milwaukee Job Corps Center, they're learning all about the mathematics and blueprint reading and all of that landscape that goes into that. And then they're going into an actual work area. They're mixing the concrete. They're pouring it. They're learning how to paint it and finish it and do all that. I've learned a tremendous amount about the trades
and all that other stuff.
This field.
When did you teach there?
That's the thing. Give me anything and I will be able to connect you or solve the problem. Ta-da.
Yeah, wonderful.
That's what Jess does. But So they get to do that. And then as they get closer to graduation, they're at a work-based learning site. So they're actually with a company learning those soft skills because it's a twofold program. You're not only earning an education, but the whole idea behind it is how are you furthering and bettering yourself? It is the link between...
And how are you preparing yourself to work effectively in the workplace, correct, despite your skill? And that's the importance of the soft skills, and I'll let you just discuss that so that if there are people on the listening audience that aren't quite familiar with or sure of what the soft skills are, which are critical, absolutely critical, what specifically are you talking about, right, in that respect?
Yeah. Making sure that you have a well-documented work history. That is that resume.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to have extensive years of work history because a lot of things are transferable. So if you were a student that was active, you know, volunteering, or you participate in church or some sort of nonprofit, and then you go to Job Corps and, like, this is your first real work experience, all of that gets documented, and there are ways to write that out in a resume. More importantly, regardless of how that resume speaks to you, after networking and speaking with employers, because that's also part of my job, it's making sure that student knows how to interview. Do you maintain eye contact? Do you know how to dress appropriately? How do you hold and carry yourself? Can you clearly articulate what it is you have learned and be able to apply it to the job? Know the company before you go in there. All of those sorts of things are taught also in conjunction with the education that a student is learning at the Job Corps.
How to ask someone else if you're not sure of a procedure, as opposed to saying, well, I don't want to look like someone who's incompetent,
right,
so I'm just going to do something and hope to beg for forgiveness later.
Right. All those things that are, you know, things that would get you fired at a job are what, you know, I continue to work on after they leave, because the idea was, okay, we can prepare them with this knowledge, but if we don't have support on the back end, how are they going to be successful? How do we mark and measure success within this program? And that's where I come in at the tail end. So I help get people in, and then when they leave, it's following up with that student. Can you obtain and maintain employment, which is why I network with employers?
Mm-hmm.
You know, can you do the schoolwork? How do you navigate that? And if you don't have anybody on the tail end of that, you're not going to know how to do it. You can give people, I'm a firm believer in this, you can talk to people till you're blue in the face about things, but if you don't show them the application and you're not there to help them along, they're not going to be successful and they're not going to know how to do that. So another unique aspect of Job Corps is that once you complete, you work with me, you know, to make sure that you can get a job, keep that job, go on to school, or whatever it is that you may be. And I can't negate enrolling into the military, because that's a big
it's
one.
It's a very, very important focus.
We're networking with Great Lakes, and I've talked with a few other, like, Army and National Guard recruiters. And they, too, because it used to be you had to have that diploma.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have a high school diploma,
mm-hmm,
to prove that, you know, you can complete something. And Job Corps is there. You can either get a high school diploma or a GED. And there are several outlets as to how to do that at Job Corps if you don't have it. Mm-hmm. So it's that catch-up. Awesome. The most awesome thing is not only is this free, mm-hmm, but you get paid to go
while you're there.
So every 2 weeks you receive a stipend.
Small stipend.
Right.
It's not a money-making scheme. It's job training.
Job training.
Specifically.
Because the idea being you're going to give back, because your tax dollars that fund this program, you're going to obtain a job, and your tax dollars then go to help the next kid who's enrolling into Job Corps. So you do get a small stipend at first, the 180-day probation period, so 6 months, you get $25 every 2 weeks. And then after that, it's $35. But everything's provided there for you. Your training, your education, your work clothes, your classroom uniform, and your meals, which include breakfast, lunch, dinner, and snacks, housing, what else can I – laundry. Everything on
basic
center
medical
is – yes. You get medical, which is medical, dental, and vision. So they will write you out a voucher to go get glasses if you need it, or hearing aids if you need it. Mm-hmm. Being like – we're trying to close as many gaps that we can to make you
in the
a
employment
successful
access process,
right,
and certainly to provide the workforce with some skills that are more than just basic or entry level,
mm-hmm.
and not that those workers are not important, but this is another aspect and is a greater reflection of a more full involvement in the community.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's important also to remind everybody at this point that unlike their age or peer counterparts that may be the valedictorian or salutatorian of a high school class in a conventional setting, these students now have credentialed, documented, industry standard
mm-hmm.
skills. And this is something that an employer can say, I know what you can do, sign here. And oh, by the way, this is the benefit package. You have vacation, retirement, medical care, and so forth. And these are expectations that Job Corps is building into those students.
Mm-hmm.
This is what is the standard or the what I can look forward to in the job site or at the job site.
Mm-hmm.
And I think those expectations for a higher quality of life are much more important to be cognizant of as opposed to just, okay, here's just another opportunity to get job training and then go get a job.
Right.
I think these focus the people that are graduating from Job Corps are primarily more career-focused and at a much earlier age than some of their college counterparts who are trying to complete degrees, racking up crippling debt,
yep.
and hopefully getting out with the ability to be employed with a master's degree and start paying off that debt.
Right.
So there's a lot of pluses to this.
The ends definitely justify the means, I think, in this program. You're speaking of students who are leaving and they're able to step into the workforce. I have a student who I just started working with, and when he left, he was working at a car wash. He's 17. So he was like, I don't know anywhere that's going to allow me to work in my trade. And I was like, hold on a second. Not a joke. Within a day, he was working in his trade.
Oh, my.
Because okay. I'm able to network and figure out where he can go. And he's a carpenter.
Mm-hmm.
And he had scored high enough on his union test while at the center that they told him, come back when you're 18 and we can get you right into the union. Well, until he can do that, he's working and continuing to build those skills
in a pre-apprenticeship
yep.
capacity,
yep.
which is as far as a trade process or progress is concerned, pre-apprenticeship and then apprentice and then journeyman, I believe it is,
mm-hmm.
and then we move up in those skilled trades,
yep.
and that's just that. Those are the what Job Corps calls the hard skills or the hard trades.
Yep.
And if you don't mind sharing, what else is available at the Milwaukee Job Corps Center, just for example?
Right. So we do have 10 centers within this region at Milwaukee,
and
which
we are in Job Corps Region 5, I believe it is,
correct.
As far as the way it's divided up.
Mm-hmm. Which has several states in it. But this, at Milwaukee, you can choose to be a CNA, medical office support, a cement mason, which ties into bricklaying, a welder, a material handler, and they have started Intro to Manufacturing Technology,
mm-hmm.
which is your CNC sort of work.
Computer numerical control, right.
So I can say that out of most of my students, if they actually leave and work with me and this process is working the way it should, most students leave Job Corps and can step into a job that is between $12 and $15 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
I have some masons that are making $25. I have one who's an iron worker who
yeah.
went through welding. So, I mean, it is a legit alternative to the traditional course. And if you look at the labor market, the Bureau of Labor and Statistics had written an article, I want to say at the start of the year, that was shared with me, actually from my ex-husband.
Oh, wow.
Who was like, look, Jess. And I was like, hey, awesome. It shows that trades and trade jobs, your electrical, your carpentry, your cement masons, those jobs are on the rise, and they're needed because we have such a large number of people retiring from them, and not enough skilled labor.
Plus, we have crumbling infrastructure now because it's been ignored by some people's estimates for a long period of time, mm-hmm. and we have to shore it up or maintain it.
And all of those hard trades, your carpentry, cement masonry, your welding, all of these are pre-apprentice or apprenticeship opportunities.
Correct.
A student can choose to, you know, join the union afterwards if that's what they'd like to do, and the center is there to help streamline that as well. Some students choose not to. They find private business and, you know, they go on to do what it is that they want in that trade. But it is an option, too, which will successfully set you up with a very good paying career. And, you know, to walk out of something with no debt, having gotten paid to do it, and step into a job that pays $20 an hour, had I known years ago.
And built a network of acquaintances. In one case, one of the professionals that I know at the current Job Corps Training Center in Milwaukee was a classmate of George Foreman,
yeah,
who is a Job Corps graduate and has done, by some people's standards, pretty well. And I say that facetiously. He's done enormously well.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that in his own statements, he would credit very, very conspicuously the Job Corps Training Program. This is WGTD and the Education Matters Show. Today we're talking about employment and education opportunities available through the Job Corps Training Program with Jessica Sheeler, and she is the Outreach and Transition Specialist with the Job Corps Program at the Kenosha County Job Center. We've talked a lot about the different education streams and directions people can take. You also make people aware of a wide variety of employment opportunities in not only the Tri-County area, Racine, Kenosha, certainly in Walworth, but also in northern Illinois. In what capacity do you do that, and how do you tie in education or preparation and training access to qualify for these vacancies? And by that, again, I want to ensure people that we're staying on point to say, okay, Jess, we know it's important to have math skills. We know it's or numeracy skills. We know it's important to have literacy skills. Your piece in doing that outreach and keeping people informed, and I've got to say, I've received a tremendous number of leads from you personally that exceed and go beyond the weekly job vacancies that are extremely helpful that come out of the Kenosha County Job Center, which does a remarkable job and always has, as far as I'm concerned. And quite honestly, recently I've seen those opportunities on the rise. There are mm-hmm. more of them. But if you could speak to that just a little bit, and the one piece that I hope that you will address also as these opportunities are made available, whether they be in Walworth County mm-hmm. or Illinois, transportation. How am I going to get there?
Right.
So it's a big, 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 long question. I'll let you answer it.
All right. So, let's talk about my service area. I am Kenosha, Racine, northern Illinois, which is lake parts of Cook and McHenry County. Walworth, the eastern side, my counterpart, takes west onward. Waukesha and Milwaukee. Now, when I was given this animal, it was, how am I going to make the connection with all that is available out there and funnel it all in to get it to everybody? I was very well set up at the job center. I became part of the business services team. And I started.
What a great team, too. those are all just fantastic people. I remember so many. Jeff Kell comes to mind especially right now, and he's just enormous, has been a tremendous help for me when I was at doing work at Tremper High School, setting up different events and so forth. So, again, a big plus to those folks and a plug from this end.
And today we're crazy busy because we've got Amazon there.
And with that hiring event. And the opportunities with Meijer mm-hmm. and some of the other big, big businesses that have moved into the Kenosha area, seeing the advantage of the workforce that exists here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's creating a win-win.
Which ties into the educational component, because we have these services available. Like, say you choose not to go to Job Corps, or, you know, you're kind of just a high school grad and you're like, I don't really know what to do. I cannot put enough emphasis on the amount of free services at the Job Center to help you show the education you have and help market you.
Polish up your resume, build some other skills for free.
Computer classes, finance classes, all of this is free and offered at the Job Center.
But there are also some boot camp programs.
Through the WIOA program.
Through WIOA, which is the Workforce Innovation Opportunities Act, which replaced, by the way, for people that are keeping track of this, the Workforce Investment Act.
Yes.
And I believe that the federal government saw some need to go in different directions and make opportunities more available to a greater variety and greater cross-section of people.
So because I was so networked well and got brought into the fold, probably because they like the way I talk and can get things done, I was able to say, hey, I bet you if I started talking to Racine and Walworth, I can figure out how to get those job leads to and network with those employers. So I took it upon myself to just start talking to those business services teams, and then I became connected there. We used to have somebody who worked and was part of the business service team who – I don't know, by luck or fate, ended up at the Lake County Job Center. Which
I've seen her name a couple times.
Kay.
Yes. Kay, yes.
Kay. Yeah. And yeah. She, they're the only job center that covers all of Lake County.
Ah.
So there aren't.
And like Walworth and Racine, they are a neighboring county.
Correct.
They just happen to be in a different state.
They are in a different state. And so I network with Kay, and I've been able to get leads through there. And so I get all of these leads, and I look because I work with so many students from all centers and all sorts of trades and walks of life. And I go, okay, I meet with them, and we create an individualized employment plan. And that's, what are your goals? Do you like your trade? Do you want to stay in your trade? And if not, what can I do to either supply you with other education opportunities or find something that would crosswalk with that trade so that you're happy? And so it's really getting to know my students on a one-on-one basis, getting those leads, and then sending them out to them. I am a staunch believer in equal opportunity and access to what it is I have. My students get everything that I get, from job leads to other resource information. They all get that. And then we work to build that resume. I, you know, partner with a lot of the other components at the job center to make sure that their resume is finished.
That unfair. That's an upcoming question. But please, go ahead.
Unfair.
I'm just kidding.
I'm no. Reading ahead.
Yeah, yes.
Breaking the rules.
No, I think that it's clear that you've got a very, very good handle on the many, many different components that contribute to success. And so bringing in those other components is important, whether we do it now or later. I'm glad that we have the opportunity. I might mention, though, that and want to add at this point, you alluded to an individual employment plan.
Correct.
And is that something that's Department of Workforce Development, or is it the Department of Labor? Is it a form? Is it something that Jess Schuler came up with?
It's nothing that I started doing it. And
okay.
Then when you dig into our PRH. Which
PRH?
Yes. Oh, goodness. Now you're going to have to. Oh, no. It's our policy and requirements handbook.
Okay, okay.
And that is not – I have one that is from DOL.
Okay, Department of Labor.
Yes, yep. That says Job Corps, this is what you need to do.
Okay, okay.
And then we have one as a company, because I'm contracted to do this,
yes.
That says, okay, here's what the Department of Labor wants. This is how else we're going to take it. And
mm-hmm.
Then I've taken it upon myself to just kind of implement my own view with the resources I have.
And I only want to stop you there because it's ironic that what you have come up with out of their guidance is an individual employment plan, which abbreviates to IEP.
Ah.
If someone was listening to this in the listening audience saying, oh, she deals with IEPs. Yeah, she does, but not the individual education plan, which is an IDEA or Individuals with Disabilities Education Act form.
Right.
That supports our students with exceptionalities or special needs.
I don't.
So I just wanted to at least clarify that. And
but the center does, and that's important to know, too, because if you have
an IEP,
right.
It goes along with you to Job Corps.
Yes.
Correct.
And and your education is then modified so that you have supportive services to be successful.
Well, it's as opposed to modified, it still must meet an industry standard.
Correct.
So that we use and speak in terms of accommodations, more
yes.
So than a change which modifies or reduces what the industry standard requires.
Right. No, they are all still still industry standard. It mm-hmm. is just, how do I go about learning it?
Correct. So. And addressing the individual learning differences mm-hmm. and specialties. Sometimes I describe our students that have unique learning needs and abilities mm-hmm. that distinguish them from other folks that are in the more mainstream or conventional settings. And again, those that's important. Everyone's needs and blessings have to be recognized and met. Mm-hmm. I think the advantage for the student who does take the Job Corps direction, for example, or at least considers that, is that the educational components are met. Those credentials are fulfilled for example, military consideration, which is a legitimate career direction and option. Mm-hmm. It's just for that student where the conventional classroom may not be the most effective setting for them if they are more hands-on kind of learner and can benefit from that self-paced environment. This is something that I think is important to reinforce as we go through our discussion this morning.
Yeah, I have to say, as you were talking, it made me think of the stigma that is really associated with education. Go to school from kindergarten to 12th grade, sit in your classroom, do as you're told, do your work, and complete. Then go to college, get that degree, and then join the workforce. This does not meet everybody's life. It just, that is
life
an,
path.
This is an impossibility because we are all different people. And that's what I've really enjoyed about this is I've gotten to work with and continue to get to work with so many different people from all walks of life. And it's relating to them that you don't get hung up on that stigma that you have to do this or that, oh, the choice you made is wrong. There's lots of people who cannot sit in a traditional anything. And I like to embrace difference anyway. Mm-hmm. So, you know, being able to talk to people who walk into my office and ask about Job Corps, it's like, well, let's have a conversation first. I can tell you about Job Corps, but who are you? And then I can help hook you up with what you need. Because it is very much, you know, there are people who are auditory learners. There are people who are visual learners. There are people who are hands-on learners. That doesn't make you odd or not the norm. It just means that
simply because you don't score high on a standardized test
correct.
Or something of that nature. Correct.
How do I take your strengths and make you successful? That is the goal.
Absolutely. So. Wonderful. Wonderful. Now, in addressing that focus and addressing those concerns, do you conduct outreach activity in support of potential job seekers or agencies and organizations serving people with employment and employability objectives? And by that, I mean meeting that success focus. What kind of outreach activities do you conduct or are you involved in since you part of your title is outreach?
It's a twofold thing. Mm-hmm. Everything I do seems to be, I'm going to do this and then split it so that I don't know, maybe
least,
I enjoy crazy.
At least twofold.
So I focus outreach in two ways. One, reaching out to other nonprofit community organizations, the schools, being able to go back to Women and Children's and to CIP and say, hey, now I do this and you work with a group of people who would benefit from this. That's one way, making sure that they're aware that Job Corps exists. So I do that on one end of it. My other outreach efforts are as part of those business services teams. I collaborate with many of those people, and we go into businesses to educate
okay.
them about.
That's what I was curious about.
Yes.
Is it just the businesses themselves, or is it, for example, I can think of many, many fine people that are involved in business, in the business community through CABA. Kenosha Area Business Association.
We collaborate with them.
The Rotary Club.
We
wonderful
collaborate with
group
them.
Of people. Right.
I mean, any sort of facet that you can think, because it's inclusive.
Lions.
And exclusive. Like, it's extensive
commerce.
Is what I meant to say, mm-hmm. is that if I can, like CABA, we partnered with them and worked collaboratively with them last October for the Niagara hiring event.
Okay.
And so we do actively work and collaborate with all these other groups to help the employer who's coming here find that workforce. We mm-hmm. Yesterday I went with the Office of Veteran Services to Dentsply. They make Clearline and are like the leading what is it, counterpart or, why is the word failing me? Anyway, they make clear braces. Invisalign would be, they're the main competitor. There you go. I got there. For Invisalign, and located in Racine. And as we were sitting there discussing who we are, what we do, that sort of thing, they go, are you a temp agency? We are not a temp agency. No. We are an easier, streamlined source for the employer because we have screened our applicants and we can tell you they're going to show up on time. We've made sure of that. Their resume is on par. They know how to interview. They're going to come to you as a competent individual because we have worked with them and have prepared them. Now, having
you have a stake in certainly your reputation has a stake in what you're representing, too.
This is true. So far, it's done me well.
Well, I think personally, but certainly the agencies that work out of the Kenosha County Job Center mm-hmm. certainly have that stake in their own reputation
yes.
to protect and certainly defend and represent effectively in the community.
Mm-hmm. And that's why we do a lot of collaboration. Like when one of us goes out, it's not just us as Job Corps going out. We make sure that they know of the other services that are afforded to them.
The Job Corps is a part of business services. Mm-hmm.
Yes, we are, mm-hmm. Or I am.
Sure.
But, there. Besides knowing that there is an, we have qualified candidates for these employers, it's also letting them know about, like, the Job Center of Wisconsin, how to post and get their business to grow, too. So it's kind of a twofold thing there, too. So I think I've broken everything into four at this point.
Sure.
We're just going to... Yeah.
Now,
square
you had
everything.
Mentioned early on about the special needs population and their access and eligibility for consideration in the Job Corps program. Do you work with the Division of Vocational Rehabilitation in that same outreach kind of a capacity,
yep.
either during their orientations or intake process?
I work with both the DVR counselors and I work more directly with Yvette Moeller-Bunker.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She is the business service liaison
uh-huh.
for DVR.
For DVR.
And so
okay.
I collaborate with her. We share job leads and we work together to make sure that counselors have information for their clientele. I mean, in my job, I don't just work with my caseload, but if I can make your job easier as a partner that I've networked with, I'm going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So people get the job leads or they go, how do I talk to this company? And I'm kind of the bridge too. Like, make sure you throw my name out there because I've talked to them and so they know that you're not just going rogue contacting them.
Right.
So we all work to make sure that a community, which is what we want, is successful.
Correct. And keying on or capitalizing on the it takes a village kind of a theme.
I believe so much in that.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the other question that I have then, and I want to be able to clear up or at least have in front there to say, we're either getting more information about this or it's something that has come up in the past and we've discussed it, is for that high school student, how old can you be, first of all?
16 to 24.
16 to 24.
Mm-hmm.
So if the 17, 18-year-old high school student who is disenfranchised or disinterested and just figuring, I can't go anywhere, every time I see I'm sitting in the classroom, I'm looking outside, it's a sunny day, there's someone working on a power line or someone working on a highway, and I keep thinking, I would really rather be out there in the overalls and so forth and working outside, hands-on. But if I leave school, then I'm going to be considered a dropout, and the school is not going to like that, even though I will be going to another high school to complete my diploma.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a direct way to address that concern?
You are not a dropout. What happens is if you have, when you leave your home high school, 18 or more credits, you are considered a transfer into a high school program at Job Corps.
So Job Corps requests the transfer information, those academic records from the registrar at that high school. And at that point, the high school says, oh, okay, they're now at Job Corps.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't have 18 credits and decide to stop going to that neighborhood-serving high school and opt to go to the Job Corps Training Center, then what? How is their
status accounted for? There is an HSED, which is a high school equivalency degree, or a GED, which
okay.
is a general education degree. a student with fewer than 18 credits gets to make the choice as to which they want to go and enroll into at Job Corps. Penn Foster, which is a online school, is one of our big accredited online courses for students to obtain that high school education. And then GEDs, depending on where that center is located, mm-hmm. has partnered with the area tech school
technical college
to
right,
have
to
that education.
That. So it's
them.
It win-win. The education piece is addressed and secured.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got to say we are out of time. I'm going to wrap it up right now, but I've thoroughly enjoyed the time that we've spent together revisiting.